I'm Carrie Nolan. It's Monday, March 15th, and time for WQXR's Washington Report Online. David Sanger joins us now. He's the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. Good morning, David.
Morning, Carrie.
Let's start this morning with President Obama's health care push. This is supposed to be the final week of the health care saga, at least if you believe the White House. Well, is it?
Well, they've said that before. There's lots of reason to believe that it probably is now, if for no other reason than the fact that everyone can't believe it's gone on this long, and I think both Democrats and Republicans want to be done with it. That said, while you heard the White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs say on the talk shows on Sunday that he thought that by next Sunday it would be clear whether this was settled law or not, there are a lot of parliamentary delay tactics that the Republicans have promised to engage in, and you could easily imagine this slipping beyond the week.
What's the cost to President Obama if he can't pass the legislation, and what's the upside if he can?
Well, that's the big question. You know, he's sort of done this as an all-or-nothing bet at this point, and many in the White House think that was a big mistake, that he should have focused, as we've discussed in previous broadcasts, on financial regulation or energy first. But the fact of the matter is that he has put so much of his authority on the line here that he fundamentally needs to go into the next election now with this as law, so that the debate in the next election is about whether or not to repeal it. Now, history would suggest that in some cases that can be a useful approach. You know, a lot of people objected to the Great Society programs during Lyndon Johnson's time as big government, but if you tried to go retract those now or repeal those now, I think you'd probably run into a lot of opposition.
With all the back and forth, what should we look for in the formation of the final bill this week?
Well, here's what I'm looking for. When President Obama first proposed all of this, he said that there were two big criteria. The first is, does the law push down the cost curve to make sure that medical costs either slow their growth or actually decline? So I think that's the first test you've got to watch this one for, and of course that's the administration's own test. So if they fail it, they've got a problem. The second is, he said that he would sign nothing that adds to the deficit. Now, obviously, this is an expensive program, particularly if it adds 30 million people to the medical rolls. On the other hand, he had promised along the way that there would be various methods, including compensatory cuts in some services, that would end up paying for this. The big question is, do those survive in the final bill?
Let's move on to some international news. Vice President Joe Biden was in Israel last week when Israel's Interior Ministry announced its plans for 1,600 units of new housing in East Jerusalem. Now, this was supposed to be a simple goodwill tour. What happened to Joe Biden's goodwill after Israel's announcement?
You know, the big and really interesting question here now is where the U.S.-Israeli relationship goes from here. On Sunday, you saw Prime Minister Netanyahu issue an apology for the fact that this announcement happened when Vice President Biden was in town. But he did not announce that they were revoking the actual substance of the announcement, which, of course, serves to basically lay claim on areas that would still be under negotiation with the Palestinians. Within the Obama administration, there's a lot of bitterness right now about what happened to Vice President Biden. There are some who suggested that he should have just picked up and left. Instead, he stayed and gave his speech and declared that sometimes friends have to talk pretty toughly to each other. But clearly, there's a big division here. AIPAC, which is the major lobbying group for American Jews supporting Israel, came out yesterday with a statement saying that it was up to President Obama to begin to repair the damage. I think the administration would see this in reverse.
So what was behind Israel's apology on Sunday?
Well, I think a good deal of what was behind it was concern by Prime Minister Netanyahu that he has done damage at a time that there's a much bigger issue underway between the United States and Israel, which is how to deal with Iran. But at the same time, he is caught between his own domestic politics, where he's got some very pro-settlement conservative groups within his coalition, and he can't alienate them too much and keep his government together.
Any other stories that we need to know about that you're following this week?
You know, I thought it was fascinating this morning, Carrie, that you saw Moody's, which does government ratings, issue another one of these warnings that if the United States and other major industrial countries don't figure out their financing through the out years of this recession and recovery, that they could all find that they are at risk of their AAA ratings, which, of course, are the ratings that allow the U.S. and other countries to be considered the best credit risks in the world and to borrow money at low rates. We've seen bits and pieces of this happen over the past year or so, and it's quite worrisome.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you.
New York Times Chief Washington Correspondent David Sanger. I'm Carrie Nolan, and that's the Washington Report on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR.